Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's current sports. I am your host, L. Martin, on this Tuesday, 7-11. 2017. We are live here in Studio West, right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. And folks, we welcome you all to our first ever MLB All-Star special. For those tuned in via Facebook Live. You hear that? Yeah, for those tuned in via Facebook Live at facebook.com/currentsports, you will see a lot of WKAR staff and friends chowing down. They're teasing me right now because I've only had breakfast today, so they're chowing down on lunch. We got hot dogs and strawberries. Oh, healthy choices over there. Coleslaw. Oh, man. It's a party up in here. Chips. Isaac, are you hungry, dude? I'm starving right now.
I'm chowing down on a Coke. On a Coke, so I'm living well.
I hear you, brother. So we've got a great hour in store for all of you out there that will be filled with a ton of baseball talk. Tonight out in beautiful, sunny Miami, Florida at Marlins Park. Tonight marks the 88th Midsummer Classic. That's right, the All-Star Game, folks. But I got to be real. I enjoy the Home Run Derby more than I do the All-Star Game, Isaac. Last night was so fun. A man by the name of Aaron Judge. He's 25 years old. He balls out for the New York Yankees. He went off last night and showed everyone why he is quickly becoming the face of baseball. We'll recap the Home Run Derby last night, and we have not one, not two, but three guests that will be joining us live here in studio. Guest number one will be a dear friend of ours. His name is Jesse Goldberg Strassler, play-by-play voice of the Lansing Lugnuts. Jesse will talk about two young studs that are no longer a part of the Lansing Lugnuts organization because they were called up, and they have a legit shot at making a Major League Baseball roster very soon. Jesse will talk about who those two young studs are. He'll also talk about just the atmosphere down at Cooley Law School Stadium and how it's been changed due to a lot of factors. You got the outfield apartments. You have so many promotions now. I feel like every other day there's something else going on at Cooley Law School Stadium. Just talking about the atmosphere that is Cooley Law School Stadium and the Lansing Lugnuts. That and more. We'll also get his thoughts, of course, on tonight's All-Star Game. Then at 1:30, we will invite the head coach of the Michigan State baseball team, Jake Boss Jr. Jake will put a bow on the season that was for MSU baseball. He will also talk about five of his players that have signed 2017 Major League Baseball contracts. You don't want to miss that. And on the back end of the show, we will invite a legend by the name of Pat O'Keefe. Pat is the head coach of Grand Ledge Baseball, longtime head coach of the Comets, who is a member of the baseball, Michigan Baseball Hall of Fame. You don't want to miss that. And again, the Michigan Baseball Hall of Fame takes place this Saturday. We'll get his thoughts on what that moment was like for him 2 years ago. So as you see, so much to get to, so little time. Let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners.
Thank you.
All right, and we start with news concerning Tori Jankowska, former Michigan State women's basketball star. Tori will play for Team USA in the World University Games next month out in Taiwan. How about that? Yeah, Tori Jankowska and former Maryland Terrapin Melina Howard joined the Maryland women's basketball team to compete, to complete the U.S. roster. The Terrapins were selected by the United States International University Sports Federation to represent the United States in the World University Games, which will begin, mark your calendars, August 19th to the 30th. Out in Taiwan. Congratulations to Tori on that honor. We, of course, spoke to Tori at the Moneyball Summer League Pro-Am about the whole fiasco, getting drafted in the WNBA and then being cut before even playing a game. So wishing Tori good luck out there. All right, Aaron Judge, how good is this young stud? He is now your 2017 Home Run Derby champ. The New York Yankees outfielder was able to knock off some tough competition on his way to the crown. His opponent in the first round was a hometown favorite in Miami's Justin Bour. Bour cracked, yeah, round of applause for that, Isaac. Bour cracked 22 bombs out of Marlins Park, but Judge was just barely able to eclipse him with 23 of his own. He could have actually had more in that round. Judge then eliminated L.A. Dodgers rookie star Cody Bellinger and cruised past Minnesota Twins third baseman Miguel Sano in the final for the title. We will have more on Judge's remarkable night out in the MI of A in just a moment. And, of course, the All-Star Game takes place tonight. That's why we have our current sports All-Star Game special with friends here in Studio S. Give it up, guys. One, but just go crazy for a second. Yes, we're so honored you've allowed us to bring this to you. Going to be a lot of fun on today's show. Now that the Derby is over, though, it's time to see who will be able to capture. Well, this is actually an old thing now. No longer will the NL and the AL compete for home field advantage. The first time this has happened in 15 years. The 2017 All-Star Game will get underway tonight from Marlins Park in Miami. The pitching matchup will be as follows. Max Scherzer, former Detroit Tiger, now of the Washington Nationals, will face off against Chris Sale of the Boston Red Sox. The Detroit Tigers will be sending two players to the Midsummer Classic this year. Michael Fulmer will be ineligible to pitch because of his start on Sunday night in the Tigers win in Cleveland against the Indians. And how about J-Up? Justin Upton, who sports a .265 batting average with 15 homers and 54 RBIs. According to Peter Gammons of Gammons Daily, the Chicago Cubs are interested in acquiring an established starting pitcher. But Tigers fans may be surprised to know that it is not Justin Verlander. Verlander is a name that has been tied to the Cubs in recent trade rumors, but as of the past few days, it has been another big name from the Tigers, as the Cubs have reportedly asked about both Michael Fulmer and Daniel Norris. MLB Roundup is reporting that the defending World Series champs offered Kyle Schwarber for Michael Fulmer, on top of asking for Norris. We'll see how that one pans out. Tigers first baseman Miguel Cabrera is speaking out more than ever about the ongoing crisis in his home country of Venezuela, breaking what he said was a long-standing rule against meddling in politics. In a series of videos posted on his Instagram story on Monday, Cabrera blasted the corruption of Venezuela's government, voiced his support for protesters, and spoke of threats against his family that required him to pay vagueness or protection money. Cabrera's comments instantly made headlines in Venezuela, where newspapers and websites put his words in big, bold letters. All right, Detroit Pistons coach and team president Stan Van Gundy recently spoke on why he decided to make the Avery Bradley move and renounce the rights to Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. In a presser, SVG said this, quote, "What happened was the deal with Boston with Avery Bradley there. So what we had to weigh was Avery comes in. He's only got 1 year on his contract against, you know, where the KCP contract could potentially go. And if you sign him, you're well into the luxury tax and then have significantly less flexibility going forward," end quote. Stan Van would go on to say that KCP, that move was never a matter of what he was worth, but more of a matter of balancing. And speaking of the Detroit Pistons, more Piston news. Reggie Bullock is returning to the team on a 2-year, $5 million contract. Must be nice. The second year is not guaranteed, and the Pistons are able to use his rights to re-sign Bullock. meaning they can go over the cap with his salary and still can add another player with the $3.3 million in the biannual exemption for the veterans minimum. All right, and the Pistons are another step closer to completing their move to downtown Detroit. The lease agreement between the Pistons and Olympia Entertainment is now fully documented. The agreement was signed early Monday morning and will be presented today to NBA owners at the league's Board of Governors meeting at the Wynn Hotel. Although the lease has not been signed, the Pistons organization still has some important steps to take in the approval process. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to be a part of the show again, you know that number. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page where we are currently live streaming the show. Facebook.com/currentsports, and even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR underscore sports. So much to get to. Let's start the show, Isaac.
Throw me the ball and watch what I do with it. We got Bow Wow in the house. My man Lil Zane. Lil Wayne. Sammy, sing to me.
Type of dog, so many back to back kids, they call me Little Sammy Sosa. Bubblegum cards on all the posters. Yeah, I know how I roast you when it's time to compete. Yeah. On the field, on the court, over any hot beat. The break, and you know it when you see your clone. And right now, that's all I see going on.
Holla at
me. Game time, all I think about is bringing home the trophy. If your team's better than mine, you really gotta show me. Really gotta beat me. Really gotta trash talk, mistreat me.
And send my squad back home.
I don't lose too much. Yeah. Matter of fact, I ain't never lost at all when I'm playing hardball.
Right.
So if you on the mound, about to pitch to me, understand, I'm like Griffey. I keep him to the wall.
And he's hitting balls everywhere, right field, center field, left field.
Our first 500-foot home run,
Little League World Series, and just being a Dodger.
This blows it out of the way, out of the water.
This does.
Oh, yeah, this is the best experience that I've had playing baseball.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Okay, he's about to be say after those balls.
He hit two over 500. That window hasn't been hit like it has tonight, and Judge.
Look at down the canvas.
I just react.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
Drop the bat.
Aaron Judge, your 2017 home run derby champion. And it made it look easy.
That's the winning swing. He had a line drive to center field, 458 feet. And he's just having fun out there.
And welcome to the Current Sports MLB All-Star Game special live here in Studio S. Give it up one time, ladies and gents. Yes, those joining us via live stream can see the goodies in the background, the hot dogs, and the healthy stuff, too. Strawberries and vegetables, and what else do we have there? Peter Wharf, our station manager, is like, no, we got the hot dogs over there, right? I feel you on that, Peter. I'm on a diet. I don't know if I can eat it. Thank you. You're saving me a few. Cheat day, right? Cheat day, okay? Marking up as a cheat day. Chips in the background. We're having fun. Tonight is the 88th Midsummer Classic, the All-Star Game from Marlins Park out in beautiful Miami, Florida. But how fun was that last night, right? Aaron Judge, he's 25 years old, plays for the New York Yankees. He put on a show. Put on a show. And as I stated at the top of the hour, I love the home run derby more than the All-Star game. It's just fun. It's just a fun preview before the All-Star game the following day. Justin Bour, you know, he cranks 22 homers in the first round. Judge stayed alive with 23 first-round bombs to eclipse Bour and eliminate him. He also eliminated L.A. Dodgers rookie star Cody Bellinger in the second round. And Cruz passed Minnesota Twins third baseman Miguel Sano in the final for the title. Now, get this. Judge, he joined Mark McGwire of the 1992 Oakland Athletics and King Griffey Jr. of the 94 Seattle Mariners as the third player to be leading the majors in homers at the All-Star break and to win the home run derby. Pretty cool stuff, right? And also with his victory on Monday, he joined Tino Martinez, Jason Giambi, and Robinson Cano to give the Yankees an MLB high 4 derby champs. Drove the longest ball of the competition to a whopping 513 feet. Wow. Crazy stuff there, Isaac. And StatCast actually measured the overall distance of his homers at 3.9 miles. That is crazy, crazy stuff. Not bad, right, for a kid who batted 179 in 27 games with the Yankees last season and wasn't assured a spot in the opening day roster upon arrival at spring training out in Tampa, Florida, right? Aaron Judge, he's something else. And I absolutely love his story because, you know, you start to have this conversation now when you evaluate the numbers of Aaron Judge. A lot of people saying that this dude can be the face of baseball. He can be, ideally, the LeBron James of baseball, right? It's amazing to me because, you know, LeBron James, he came into the league as a teenager, Isaac, right out of high school. You look at other names that have become the face of other leagues. Venus Williams, the Williams sisters, they started in their teens as well and got national acclaim in their teens. Kobe Bryant, right out of high school, right? There's so many that have come at those teenage years and took the sports world by storm. But Aaron Judge being 25 years old, a lot of people would compare those two dialogues and say that, wow, he's 25 years old. I mean, Kobe and LeBron and the Williams sisters had a head start when it came to their careers.
Yeah, ship sailed.
But baseball is different. Baseball is a different dynamic. This kid is 25 years old. He has a lot of baseball ahead of him. And it's truly remarkable because a lot of folks will say, a lot of baseball experts out there would say that you don't want to peak too early in the game of baseball because there could be a downward spiral when you hit probably the early 30s. A lot of people will say that. So Aaron Judge at 25 years old doing what he is doing right now is absolutely remarkable. And I'm rooting for the kid. I love watching him. He's so big. You know, he's like, what, 6'7", 282 pounds. And I love his story because, I've mentioned this story on Current Sports in the past. Even though he's this big-time player, he does not live in a house, does not even have an apartment. He actually is renting out a room in a hotel, because that 179 still haunts him last year, okay? And he does not want to get too complacent and too comfortable to the point where, okay, oh, boy, now I'm having a downward part of my year. I may be caught down now. He's got that chip on his shoulder. I love the young kid, and I really do believe that he has a lot of potential in becoming the guy in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, that's a lesson in staying humble, what you just talked about. And Aaron Judge, he's got that background, like you said, where he's up from the roots. I mean, he really is somebody who didn't come up with all sorts of privilege or anything like that. Right. He had to work his way here. Now at 25, finally doing what he does. And that's what baseball needs, because baseball has way too many entitled stars. Look at who can't be the face of baseball. Bryce Harper, that didn't pan out. You know, it's even though these guys can still play, they can't get the national acclaim that Judge can. Now the MLB's job is to make sure that they protect him, make sure that they preserve his image. Because with a guy like Mike Trout, I thought he was the coming of LeBron James for baseball. He's still hitting a career high in batting average this year, but you don't hear the name anymore. The thing is, baseball, the MLB, needs to keep these guys in the spotlight, needs to keep projecting their story onto the public.
It's certainly about marketing. Aaron Judge currently leads the majors in homers, runs, and on-base percentage, and also slugging percentage as just a rookie. Let's get to our first guest on today's Current Sports. He is the play-by-play voice of the Lansing Lugnuts, ladies and gents. You know his name, Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. All right. You like that intro, Jesse?
You know what? Didn't bother me at all.
Jesse, you've been a longtime voice of the Lansing Lugnuts. I mean, you've heard this song so much. Does it get to a point where it annoys you at a certain point?
No.
you love
James
it, right?
Bond walking around hearing the James Bond theme behind him. This is fine.
Gotta love that. All right, Jesse. Well, you heard our dialogue on, of course, Aaron Judge, who ripped it up last night in the Home Run Derby out in Miami. I want to get your thoughts on whether or not Aaron Judge, a player, again, who batted 179 last year, they sent him down. And to have a breakout season like this, where do you see the ceiling, pun intended, because he hit a lot of ceilings yesterday at the Marlins Park last night, right? Where do you see the ceiling for him?
Well, first, let me disagree with Isaac. Okay. I say that marketing machine, just chill, relax, stay back. All we want as a fan is to watch somebody in that sport who we cannot wait to see what they do, and then they do it. And what Aaron Judge does is he hits the ball farther than anybody else. Mm-hmm. It's organic. And so if you tune in, you say, I've got to watch this Judge at bat because he might homer, and then he does, it takes care of itself. He's a superhero. He's doing things to the baseball that everybody else at the All-Star game couldn't imagine. That right. Bryce Harper is sitting back going, look, that's beyond me. That was outstanding and a little bit overwhelming. That was Ruthian yesterday.
How does a player bat that bad the prior year and have such a turnaround season like this year? What happens? How does that happen, Jesse?
Because human beings, if they are scared to embarrass themselves, if they don't want to fail, they work to not fail. They work to not be embarrassed. These are not finished products. He understood exactly what he was doing poorly. He worked to get better, and he's gotten better. Why does a guy improve his shooting percentage? Because he goes to the gym, and he puts up 1,000 jumpers to make sure that he hits those shots. Aaron Judge took last year as motivation, and what we see right now is all the work that he put in that we didn't see.
Good old-fashioned hard work, right?
That's it.
I want to talk about two young studs that are no longer a part of the Lansing Lugnuts organization. However, you want to root for that because now they get a chance to move up and possibly tiptoe into the majors now, right? Over the weekend, we saw, Jesse, Team USA Top Team World in the Futures game. It featured now former Lansing Lugnuts stars Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette, two players who we talked about on the show last week. They were both promoted from low class A, Lansing, to high class A in Dundon in the Florida State League. What was the buzz like around the ballpark with those two on the team? And can you really compare it to anything you've seen throughout your time with the Lugnuts, Jesse?
Not a thing. Nothing compares. The first thing is that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette have that familiar name. So you as a fan, even if you don't know that they're on the Lugnuts, you hear the PA announcer say their name, you say, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., I've got a actually watch this at bat. I wanted to see what this guy is going to do. And so, because their fathers were major leaguers, and Vlad Guerrero Sr. is going to go into Cooperstown, and then Bo Bichette leads all of baseball, major league and minor league, in batting average and doubles and on-base percentage.
Amazing.
And Vladimir Guerrero Jr. never strikes out and hits line shots to dead center field. The fact that we had, what I would argue, the two top position player prospects in the minor leagues, especially at this level, they lived up to it. And you felt like you were watching something special right here in Lansing.
And you can't compare this, that moment with those two playing the way they played and bringing fans out. You can't compare that to anything you've seen throughout your tenure, right?
Baseball America has declared Vladimir Guerrero Jr. the number two prospect in the minors. At what point can we ever say, hey, here in Lansing, Michigan, we've got one of the top two prospects in all of baseball? We've had that this summer, and you felt the buzz.
That is very true. What's the bond like between those two? Because I know Vlad doesn't know a ton of English. I know he probably has an interpreter, right, with him when he does interviews, I'm sure.
Because the players are bilingual, so there are all sorts of players who are able to translate.
Okay.
He understands English, but he is not comfortable yet talking it.
Not yet talking it. So when you have two players that are that good on the same team, what was the bond like between those two specifically?
Jordan Pippen, Stockton Malone, think about that in basketball. They had never played with anybody else who was as good as them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a joy. Bo would bat in front of Vladdy, and what we would see is Bo would go deep, Vladdy would go deep next pitch. Bo would drive a double off the wall, Vladdy would drive a double off the wall. And so after Bo Bichette homered, he'd run back to the dugout, and there was Vladdy jumping up into the air with a big high five. And then Vladdy would homer, and he'd come back to the dugout, and Bo would be jumping up in the air. they loved playing with a guy who, A, was exceptionally talented like them, and B, had that joy. Both of those guys had that joy in playing baseball.
Love that. Now, the Lansing Lugnuts 4th of July attendance was officially 11,449 at Cooley Law School Stadium. It topped the minor league baseball landscape for all games played July 3rd and 4th below the AAA level. Yes, a hand clap for that, Isaac. The Cooley Law School Stadium crowd was the largest, actually, since 2013. Jesse, have those numbers been consistently better throughout the season since 2013?
You know what? I think we see huge crowds near the 4th of July. Or maybe it will be that Friday night, that Saturday night in May and June once schools get out of session.
Right.
We have never seen a crowd like this, and apparently neither has minor league baseball. Since that renovation, that place was packed on the 4th of July, and I loved seeing Cooley Law School Stadium, seeing the mid-Michigan area fans put on the map in the country in terms of supporting our Lugnuts unlike anybody else in the U.S.
So true. And I have to ask as well, you know, you look at these outfield apartments, which look so cool and so unique in comparison to other minor league parks across the nation, let alone here in Michigan. What kind of an impact have that addition made on the atmosphere?
Well, first, stadium after stadium is building its own apartments because they loved what we did. And so now as I'm walking around, I'm seeing construction in South Bend. I'm seeing other teams are going to do this because it's been such a huge success.
Right.
And the fact that whether it's a fireworks night, whether it's just one of those gorgeous days that people get to come out onto their balconies, sunbathe, and watch some baseball, it adds to that feeling of we are a community baseball team and the community cares.
Imitation is the highest form of flattery, right,
Jesse? I think
so. All right. I want to talk about the baseball All-Star game just before we bring in Coach Boss here. Last year, and I have to address the elephant in the room when it comes to MLB's All-Star game. Last year, the ratings plunged to record lows when the game drew fewer than 10 million viewers. For the first time in the half century, Nielsen has tracked All-Star game numbers. Does the All-Star game need to be tweaked?
I think it does. I think they should give it a good hard look and come up with some things. And I've got a couple of ways how.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing is the All-Star game is always at its best in the first inning because that's when the very best hitters are coming up for both lineups. And that's when we have the starters who have been the best pitchers for both teams are in the game.
Right.
And over the course of the game, the unhittable closers come in and you just don't see rallies. And the star players who started the game come out and great for the reserves, but they come in and you're not going to see any kind of comebacks. Here's my solution. First, I go around to every single city who has an All-Star Game player in the game, and I tell them, here's when your guy's getting used. Your pitcher's not starting, we're going to use him in the sixth inning. And that city knows, all right, sixth inning, we are all going to tune in and we're going to watch him. Or this position player, we are going to put him in the fifth inning, and that city is ready to tune in.
Right.
And second, I say that you can, after you take a guy out of the game, put him back in for that final at-bat. And so in the ninth inning, you can have those stars who we took out after one at-bat, two at-bats. They are pinch hitting in the bottom of the ninth inning to see, oh, here comes Aaron Judge back into the on-deck circle. I think people would then say, we've got a chance for some late innings magic because I think the All-Star game loses its magic in the ninth inning.
Final question before we hit the first break. And I want to ask Jesse, will you mind sticking around? Because I want you to do something kind of special
Sure. After
this first break. But I want to throw this out there. That there are 28 first-time All-Stars playing tonight. Does that hurt the fandom at all, or is that good for baseball? Because we all want the familiar name that we've seen for years dominating the game or having that consistent streak of success in baseball. 28 new faces? What do you think?
I'm a big believer that baseball is at its best local. And so because of that, if you're a Detroit Tigers fan, you want your new star to be in the game.
Okay.
If you're a Yankees fan, you want your new star, and you can go around the country. They are at their first-time All-Star game, but that guy's city, his state, his region loves to see him rewarded, loves to see him on the national stage, and you want to see what the national broadcasters are going to say about this guy who only you know about. You're saying, I know how great this guy is. Time for the country to see it. Boom. Platform. Baseball has to be local.
I love that. Jesse, stick around, okay? Can you stick around?
You bet.
Because we got something special coming after this first break. Isaac, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will also invite live here in Studio S, Jake Boss Jr., the head coach of MSU Baseball. That and more. Don't go anywhere. WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. And you guys know, if you've been tuned in since 1 p.m., we are having our first ever in-house MLB All-Star Game tailgate special. Give it up, guys! Yes, we've been having a lot of fun throughout this hour. In segment A, we talked with Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, who is the play-by-play voice of the Lansing Lugnuts. We discussed, of course, last night's home run derby and got Jesse's thoughts on two young studs in Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette, who have moved up now, knocking on the door of possibly a roster spot in the majors. And you know what? What I love about going to the Lansing Lugnuts games and covering the Lugnuts is that, you know, around the seventh inning, you guys know what happens around then, the seventh inning stretch, where we all get up from our seats, as I am currently doing right now, and we sing the coveted Take Me Out to the Ball Game song. And you know what? I look up behind me when I'm down there on the field, and who do I see popping his head out the window to lead the entire crowd at Cooley Law School Stadium in that song? Yes, none other than Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. So, since we have him in studio here, and it is our first ever MLB tailgate special, we thought it'd be kind of cool to have Jesse in to lead us and take me out to the ball game before we bring in Coach Boss of MSU Baseball. Jesse, would you do the honors? And hey, everybody in studio, I want to hear those lovely voices, all right? Let's do it. Go ahead, Jesse. Take it away.
One, a two, a three. Oh, are we going to sing with this?
Yes. Hold on.
Okay.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and crackers.
Yes!
I don't care if I never get back, but it's root, root, root for the Spartans. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Yes, give it up, guys. Woo! Oh, that's fantastic. All right. I'll take my seat now, and let's get to our second guest of our MLB All-Star Game special. Of course, you guys know him pretty well. His name is Jake Boss Jr. He is the head coach of MSU Baseball. Jake, you got some good pipes. I think I heard you in that.
Yeah, a little bit. I get in there a little bit, sure. Absolutely.
Great voice,
man. Not like Jesse, though.
Isn't he great?
He's fantastic.
Jake, first off, how are you doing, my man? And thanks
so
much.
Great.
I want to start by talking about a few players who have made their professional baseball dreams come true. Bear with me on this intro. Five former Michigan State baseball players have signed 2017 MLB contracts as the deadline to sign for drafted players was over the weekend. Alex True, Brandon Hughes, Nathan Witt, Joe Mockby, and Walter Borkovich. Right now, to elaborate on those five names and so much more is Jake. First off, Jake, when you hear something like that, players that you've had now making their professional baseball dreams come true, under you now, MSU has 30 draft selections. What goes through your head when you think about making those pro dreams come through the years for your players?
Well, I mean, I think it's something that we're very proud of. You know, the fact that we've had a number of guys turn pro and a number of guys are still playing. It's something that we recruit to. I think it's a testament to the young men that we have in our program that continue to work and continue to get better and have every guy that's been drafted has improved his draft situation from high school. Most have not been drafted out of high school and then come to our place and like I said, worked hard and gotten a lot better. And so, you know, everybody wants to, you know, obviously play college baseball, but it's a dream of those guys to play professionally. And hopefully we'll get a number of guys in the big leagues at some point soon. But it's neat to watch those guys continue to mature, come here and work hard, and then get a chance to realize the dream and then start their journey.
For sure. And Jake, out of those five, who are the ones that you think – could for sure make a quick impact and a quick leap possibly to the majors?
Well, yeah, you know, I don't think there's anything ever for sure,
right.
But at the same time, all they need is an opportunity, you know, and guys like Alex Troop drafted in the ninth round. It seems like the higher you drafted, the more opportunities you get sometimes in the business of it. But Alex Troop, once he will just concentrate on pitching and you know, that role of his on the mound, he's just going to continue to get better and better. You look at Brandon Hughes, a dynamic player, plays center field for us, could play anywhere in the outfield, but steals bases and is a, you know, top of the order type of hitter. He's got a chance to move pretty quick. Joe Mockby, kind of a left-handed specialist at the next level, but could be a bullpen guy. And you know, if you're on the mound and you continue to throw strikes, you get people out. I think you've got a chance. Nathan Witt is the fourth one, who's, you know, 97 to 99 miles an hour, and obviously, you know, the priority that's been put on velocity lately, especially in the big leagues, I think lends itself to Nate possibly moving quickly, provided, you know, again, just like everybody else, they throw strikes and can throw that second pitch for a strike. And Walter Borkovich signed as an undrafted free agent, but again, all he needs is an opportunity. And once you get that opportunity, especially on the mound, if you get guys out, you have a chance to move. So we'll see.
Out of those five, Jake, who's the name or names, I should ask, that surprised you? To be where they are right now, yeah, most improved.
Most improved. That's a, you know, good question. I thought Walter Borkovich could have been drafted a year ago and wasn't. And there was some. I think there was some business. The business side of it kind of got in the way of that a little bit. I think that happened this year a little bit with Jake Lowry for us as well. I thought Jake had a pretty good chance to be drafted and wasn't. So, you know, I don't know that there were any surprises. Happy for a guy like Joe Mockby. You know, as a senior who came to us, a skinny little left-hander who really got better and gained some weight, gained a lot of velocity, probably gained 7 to 8 miles an hour in velocity. And so by the time he was a senior, he put himself into a really good position. So maybe as a surprise, if you go back 4 or 5 years, that might be the biggest surprise. But again, you know, you watch him continue to grow and get better throughout their careers there, and they all, I think, deserve the opportunity.
Jake, you know, I've had conversations with Coach Izzo with the MSU men's basketball team. You know, he does a great job of kind of testing the waters and talking to different scouts and NBA execs, trying to evaluate whether or not his players should make that leap early from the college basketball realm to the NBA if they want to leave early. And right. Even those who are seniors when making that leap, trying to test the waters of pro sports. For you, how involved are you in that process when it comes to your players that want to play pro ball?
Well, on the player side of it, we're as involved as they want us to be. You know, I'm certainly not going to step on any toes.
So it's up to them, basically.
Yeah, right? I think so. You know, we'll talk with them quite a bit throughout the course of the year. We'll talk with the parents if they want us to get involved. More and more guys are getting advisors now, and I think that's become a big part of it. But on the pro side of it, we're extremely involved, and we're talking to professional scouts, scouting directors, even some GMs constantly. In the days, especially leading up to the draft, but really throughout the entire season. We have a scout day in the fall that, you know, we get to introduce our guys to a lot of these pro guys. And then really all year long, scouts are in and out interviewing guys and putting guys through personality questionnaires and eye tests and what have you. So really it's a year-long process for us on the pro side of it, you know, really kind of dealing with the pro scouts and, you know, more or less promoting our guys.
If you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with the head coach of Michigan State Baseball, Jake Boss Jr. Jake, you mentioned those five names, losing a lot of talented players from your squad going into next season. What is your outlook for next year?
Well, you know, I think we plan on losing at least two of those guys. We plan on losing Brandon and Alex, and so we kind of recruited to that. Nate Witt kind of came along quickly. He was kind of an unknown for us because he'd been hurt. And so this was the first season that he was really able to perform for us. And so I didn't know what we would get out of him, and you know, good for him. He threw well enough to get himself drafted. So that one was something that we didn't quite plan on. But, you know, you lost a guy like Dan Durkin, a tremendous leader. And so with that, you know, some guys have to really kind of take the next step forward and move into those leadership roles. We'll see. I don't know, you know, next year. I thought this year we would have a very good chance to make a long run. And unfortunately for us, we, you know, it didn't happen. And so it seemed like we were a hit away here, a hit away there. I can tell you that we have unbelievable kids. I think that our guys work extremely hard. It wouldn't surprise me at all to see us in a position to, you know, to compete for a championship. At the same time, it's about going out and doing it. And so, you know, maybe I'm learning as I'm getting a little bit older, you know, the expectations, you know, I think that the bar has been set. The expectations are never going to change. What the outlook is right now, I guess, doesn't really matter. We got to go out and play.
What have you learned about yourself as a coach in these recent years, Jay? Because you never stop learning as a coach,
no,
right?
No, that's true. You know, I think, you know, as far as the game is concerned, managing the game, I think, you know, there's always chances to get better. I think I've, you know, as far as the dugout is concerned, where I think I'm learning to use our bullpen a little bit more. And because our bullpen is deeper, and I think that's been a priority that we put on our recruiting efforts. You know, I think I've changed some of the ways that I used to that I go about things. I think I'm a little bit more calm now than I probably was in the
mellowed
past.
Out, huh?
Maybe a little bit, you know. But I think that you know, it doesn't change the fact that during practice we're going to get after it, and we're going to really pay attention to detail. But you know, I think people, you know, you hear all the time how different kids are and kids have changed and this and that, and I don't necessarily believe that's true. I think, you know, maybe we've changed how we've treated, you know, kids or something you know, as we've kind of grown and evolved a little bit. Sometimes I think it's for the better, sometimes I don't, and so, you know, we're still going to be about holding guys accountable, and there's a lot of different ways to do that.
Before we let you get out of here, Jake, thoughts on tonight's All-Star game. What's your favorite memory, if you have one, of the All-Star game? And, you know, I asked Jesse because the ratings have fallen over the years. And actually, if you look at Isaac, I don't know if you noticed, but last night's home run derby was the highest rated home run derby in 8 years. So
I did see that.
That's doing well. But when it comes to the All-Star game itself, the numbers haven't been great ratings-wise.
Right.
Favorite memory, and what needs to be tweaked, if anything, to draw more people to the TV sets?
Favorite memory, I'm going to go back, and the only reason, I grew up a Chicago White Sox fan.
Okay.
And in 1983, the All-Star game was at Comiskey Park, and Fred Lynn hit a grand slam, still the only grand slam in All-Star game history.
Wow, still to this day.
Yeah,
wow, I didn't know that.
Still to this day. So that one sticks out. I think Bo Jackson's home run sticks out to me as far as All-Star games are concerned. I think the baseball All-Star game is the only real game, you know, out of all the major sports. You know, I think basketball, they don't play any defense.
True.
Football, they don't hit anybody. Yep. Hockey is the same way, they don't hit anybody. So baseball is I think the purest form of an All-Star game that you can have. I don't know that I really care for the way that it's set up, where the winning league gets the home field advantage in the World Series. I don't know that I care for that a whole lot. But, you know, I think ways to tweak it, that's a great question. I don't know. That's, you know, for me, again, I think it's the purest All-Star game. I love it. I can't get enough of it. I love the home run derby. I love everything about it, the futures game. I mean, you name it. And so I'm just a big fan. I couldn't tell you how to tweak it. I don't know.
And you mentioned the home field advantage discussion, right? Well, actually, as I mentioned at the top of the hour, this will be the first year that the new reward is going to be actually a $20,000 bonus for winning players while the loser gets nothing. So they're actually swapping it out.
Well, I learned something today.
I know, right? There we go. I didn't know that until this morning. So I did some research this morning. And Jake, a fun question here that Isaac and I, we're going to have fun with this last segment with Pat O'Keefe, actually. If you could choose walk-up music, if you were still playing, what track are you jamming out to?
Oh, man, I tell you, I'm going to go back, you know, maybe shows my age a little bit. I'm a big U2 guy, though.
Oh, huge, I love U2.
Huge U2 guy. So, yeah. I don't know, maybe a little Where the Streets Have No Name or, you know, something like that.
Nice.
You know, Beautiful Day, maybe, something like that. But it's going to have to be a U2 song somewhere.
Classic, right? I remember when they came to. Were you there when they came to Spartan Stadium?
I would not have missed that for anything. Matter of fact, I just saw them about 3 weeks ago in Chicago.
Bono still got it, right?
Still got it.
Gotta That's love right. that.
That's my guy. That's
the head coach of the Michigan State baseball team, Jake Boss Jr., thank you so much for your time as always, my man.
Thanks for having me, Al. Appreciate it.
We'll be in touch. All right, final break, Isaac. When we come back, we will chat with a local baseball legend by the name of Pat O'Keefe, Michigan Baseball Hall of Fame member and longtime head coach of the Grand Ledge Comets baseball team. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Where it began, I can't begin to knowing, but then I know it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Hand, touching hand, reaching out, touching me, touching you.
Oh, that's a classic. Isaac, I'm surprised you weren't singing to that one, man. Sweet Caroline.
Well, you know the beauty of this, right, Al? It's that you can turn your mic off behind the glass because, you know, I'd be piping up otherwise.
Hey, man, I need a record deal. I don't know about you, all right? all right, let's get to our final guest for today's Current Sports. This has been a fun one. Our very first MLB All-Star Game special. We talked with Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, who is the play-by-play voice of the Lanting Lugnuts. We just finished chatting with Jake Boss Jr., head coach of the Michigan State baseball team. And to end the show with a bang, we have live here in Studio S, longtime Grand Ledge baseball coach, a member of the Michigan Baseball Hall of Fame, Mr. Pat O'Keefe. Pat, so good to see you. How you doing?
Thank you, Al. Good to see you, and thank you for inviting me.
Always good to see you, Pat. And I first want to start the conversation by bringing up an event that will be taking place on Saturday night at Cooley Law School Stadium. The newest class of the Michigan Baseball Hall of Fame will be inducted. You were inducted 2 years ago. What goes through your head when you think about that moment and being enshrined in such a prestigious class?
Well, for a high school coach and anybody at our level to be in there with the professionals and the people like John Smoltz and the rest of the people that went in with us was overwhelming. It really was. It's something you don't anticipate that you'll ever have that kind of opportunity to be in the same sentence with those people.
Where were you when you got the call that you would be inducted?
I was home, so it came to the house, and so it was quite a thrill. I mean, it was something that was totally unexpected.
Very cool stuff. So Pat, you being a high school baseball coach for, of course, Grand Ledge and doing many great things as the head of that team, I have to ask because I'm always intrigued what takes place in the summertime. I know a lot of the big talent, they play on, I don't know if you can call them AAU teams, if you will, and there's a lot of camps that take place in the offseason. For you, what's the off-season training regimen like for the Grand Ledge team?
Well, a lot of the student athletes today are involved in the travel teams, so that's a big thing. You know, years ago we all stayed together and we played just our own high school, and then eventually with all these new coming facilities and everything, they started recruiting kids, and kids pay as well, their parents pay a lot of money to be involved in these programs. I'm not 100% on board with that. I believe that a lot of times this is an issue that isn't in the best interest of the kids, but I think all too often, Al, that nowadays we're trying to specialize too much, and so the kids never get much of a break off, and it's just almost all the sports seem to say, you know, concentrate on us only. All the medical data and that's being shown is saying that injuries are mounting because we're going specifically with one sport. So I'm not a big fan of this, Al, to be honest with you. I think that kids should be involved in as many things, and it is possible. I think that sometimes at the high school level, too often we think that they should only play our sport. And being a football coach for 40 years and now in baseball approaching 50, I like that multiple sport athlete. I think it gives kids an opportunity because sometimes the sport that they love the most, they're not the best at that.
Right.
And parents think that their 5'7" or 5'8" son is going to be a basketball player. I mean, it's a reality check that too many people are missing.
That is so true, Pat. You know what? It's so funny because we had this exact same conversation on yesterday's show as it pertains to basketball, the specialized sports, playing one sport essentially all year round. In what way does this negatively affect high school baseball players? And how, does it hurt the game any at all?
Well, obviously, it affects almost all the sports because you're competing in the smaller school. Oftentimes, you know, people think that and after a young man goes to a state championship in football, and he plays a long time. He's in the game till Thanksgiving, and then the same thing with the run in basketball. So a lot of times, those kids between football and basketball, and they've gone a long season. They're not going to be participating in spring sports. I hate the term burnout, but it is exhausting when you're doing this, and we're doing it for 6-7 days a week as they prepare themselves in making those long runs in other sports. So in the smaller schools, it can be detrimental to the spring sports and where the kids just are exhausted. They just don't have anything left in their tank.
How often do you see injuries happen because of that quote unquote burnout?
Well, I don't know if it's that it's the cause of it, but obviously the more games that you play in football, the more times you hit, there is that inevitable chance. But same can be said for baseball. The further you go, the more pitches that you throw, then, of course, the more chance that there could be something that happens to your arm as well.
What is your thoughts on the pitch count? I know there's a new pitch count rule as it pertains to baseball now. What do you think of that rule? I think, is it like, it's 75?
Well, it starts out, it goes in increments of 25.
Of 25, okay.
Yeah, it goes 25, 50, 75, and then the maximum is 105.
And then you have to take a few days off, right, until you can pitch again.
Yes.
What do you think about high school pitchers as it pertains to that pitch count, and does that rule need to be changed?
The High School Athletic Association in Michigan had a great rule, and it was a 30-out rule, and that only lacked the one ingredient, and that was what is the total number of pitches that you could throw in a day. So if you pitched in the course of a day or 2 days, you had 30 outs. Once you reached 30 outs, then you had to rest. If you pitched in three consecutive days, then you had to rest for a couple of days. They didn't need to do the 25, 50, 75. That was absolute asinine. And Mark Yule of the Michigan High School Athletic Association, he went to the National, and they tried to explain to them that this pitch count, theoretically, I could throw a kid 25 pitches Monday, 25 Tuesday, 25 Wednesday, and then throw him 105 on Thursday.
Wow.
The old rule that we had, the 30-out rule, that would have been impossible to do that. All they needed to do, and Mark tried to say this at the National, all they needed to do was to limit the number total pitches in one particular day. 105 is fine at the high school level.
Exactly.
But to do the 25 increment, that is plain out asinine.
How close are we to seeing that change back, if at all?
Well,
because this is a new rule, I believe, right?
Yes, this was this first year that we've had.
First year.
This year. So hopefully the National will listen to us and will change it back. I'm hoping that they'll change it back to the 30-out rule with a maximum of one day of 105 pitches. Because there were kids that were throwing 170, 180 pitches in a single day.
In one day. Oh my God. Goodness, that is crazy. All right, Pat, we got a few minutes here left. Tonight is, of course, the MLB All-Star Game. A lot of people love it. I love the Home Run Derby. I don't know if you tuned into that last night and saw Aaron Judge put on an absolute show. Yes. What's your favorite part of these 2 days?
Well, obviously, I really enjoyed the Home Run Derby, and it just shows the size of the professional athletes today is just astounding.
Isn't it?
I mean, to see him, you know, up there and swinging the way that he was doing, where everybody else would have to try to give their best, and it's so effortless for such a large athlete and such a gifted athlete.
Right.
It's pretty amazing.
6'7", 282 pounds for Aaron Judge. Mind-boggling, right? Yeah. I love it, and I can't wait to tune in tonight. We have about 90 seconds left here, Pat, but I briefly want you to touch on the dynamic as it pertains to Lansing schools in the sport of baseball. Are we close? Because, I mean, just looking at some of these scores sometimes, when Lansing schools play suburban area, mid-Michigan schools, it's crazy to me. Are we close to seeing the Lansing Board of Athletics combine schools like Everett, Sexton, especially when it comes to baseball?
Well, my big thing, and I agree with what they did in the Saginaw Valley, they gave schools the option to opt out of certain sports,
right?
Because they were not competitive, and then they could either have they could drop down and go to another league, or that they could be as independent. I have enough trouble handling Grand Ledger's program. Right. I have no right to tell Lansing programs how they should run their programs.
Totally understand that. Well, I tell you what, Pat, it's been an absolute joy having you on the show, and I'm looking forward to seeing what Grand Ledge does next season. We'll have you on again this summer if you're willing to come back. Would you come back for us?
Yeah, I will for you, Al.
My man, absolutely love it. Pat O'Keefe, Isaac, tonight, give a prediction, man, AL or NL?
I've got to go with NL. I think it's going to be a 6-3 game.
6-3 is your final. I'm going with NL as well, 5-2. So that's close. Were you looking at my notes just now?
No. Okay. My score's right, though. So, you know, I've got the edge here.
I hear you. All right, it's been a fun one. Our first ever MLB All-Star Game tailgate special. Thanks to all of our guests, and thanks to all of you out there for tuning in and listening. As always, take care and be easy, people.